Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 124 in the series entitled Reciprocal Love, Why We Feel Attracted to Certain People, Chapter 46. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, during the winter of 57-61.
The Alter Rebbe had a chassid who lived in Vilna, in Lithuania, and he was a very wealthy man and a very pious and spiritual human being. And he was a faithful disciple and student of the Alter Rebbe. This chassid had a son who did not follow in his father's path, and in fact was a very light-headed person, extremely apathetic, indifferent, frivolous, promiscuous, and so forth. He was also a skilled Baal Taiva, which means he had many cravings and lusts and urges that were not always healthy and holy and so forth. Before the father passed away, he realized that his son, due to his frivolous and lightheaded nature, in a short time, he's going to squander all of the possessions and resources and money that he inherited from his father. He knew that this was bound to happen. So before he passed away, he tells his child, he says, in the city Lyozhna, I have a very, very close friend. And if you ever hit a situation where you're in need, desperately in need for help, you can go visit my friend in Lyozhna. And he gave him the name. He says, you'll go to Lyozhna, you'll ask for a man named Reb Shneur Zalman, and he's very close to me, and he will help you. But sure enough, the chassid passed away. His son inherited his entire money, his entire wealth. But after a few years, there was nothing left of it. Nothing. And he remained poverty-stricken, and in desperate need, in dire need for help. So he traveled to Lyozhna. He's looking for this Reb Shneur Zalman, and he finds out that it's none other than the Alter Rebbe. So already his desire to go visit such a person did not exist anymore. He thought was a close friend of his father, another wealthy Jew is going to help him financially. He realized he's going to a Rebbe, and to one of the greatest Rebbes and one of the greatest leaders, the Alter Rebbe. He wasn't interested in going, but he promised his father he'll do it. So he decided he's going to go to the Alter Rebbe. He goes into the Alter Rebbe and they begin conversing, and the Alter Rebbe immediately sees with what type of person he's dealing. So he turns to him and he says, "Do you know that every single Jew has two souls? An animal soul and also a divine soul. For years now and decades now, you have only been feeding and nourishing your animal soul. Isn't it time to start paying attention, acknowledging and nourishing your spiritual soul, your godly soul?" So this man, in his usual apathy and coldness and chutzpah, turns to the Alter Rebbe and he says, "Verzaktus, who invented this idea that every Jew has two souls, that I ought even to acknowledge that there is a, that I have spiritual needs, that I have transcendental needs? Who said this?" So the Alter Rebbe says, "Tashari Kedusha for Reb Chaim Vital." If you remember in the first chapter of Tanya, the source for the fact that L'chol Ish Yisrael Yeshtei Nefashah, that every Jew is a two-souled creature, he says the source is Harachav Zal B'Shar HaKadosh, Reb Chaim Vital, the chief disciple and transcriber of the Arizal, in his book called Shari Kedusha. So the Alter Rebbe tells this man, "Say Shari Kedusha for Reb Chaim Vital." Now that meant very little for this man. So he says again, "No, where is Reb Chaim Vital? Reb Chaim Vital decided that I have two souls. It's not my problem." So the Alter Rebbe was shaken by that response. And the Alter Rebbe says, "Kegen vemen retzedas? Who do you think you're talking about? Who are you saying these words against?" And Alter Rebbe said it with such pain and with such intensity that it broke him. It devastated him. In fact, he began trembling, and as the story goes, he fell to the ground. And he came back to himself. He was humbled, and Alter Rebbe set him on a path towards spiritual healing, and he ultimately became another person. He was metamorphosized totally. This is the primary theme that Alter Rebbe brought out in the 45th chapter of the Tanya, in Perek Memhei, that the Shari Kedusha statement is a serious statement. Reb Chaim Vital was a serious person. It's a statement that one ought to reckon with, that one ought to acknowledge in a very real way, that spirituality is a very true component of your makeup, of my makeup. The divine transcendental spark that exists within the Jewish body is very real. And a person ought to have compassion on it, ought to have mercy on it, ought to feel for it. Not only to acknowledge it, to recognize it, but to feel for what it's going through, for what its needs are, for its tragedies, for its losses, for its cravings. I once read a story that there was a chassid who unfortunately he fell through with a very immoral act, which, as we know, can happen to any human being living on this earth. We all have the animal soul and the evil inclination, and he fell through. So his friends, other chassidim of the Alter Rebbe, distanced themselves from him totally. When the Alter Rebbe heard about this, he called them in. And he said, "Nein, nein, is ultimakarev zayin. Don't distance yourself from him. You should continue to have a close relationship with him." The Alter Rebbe said, "Perhaps as a result of this, he will engage in this sin one time less than he was planning to." And he said, "Der Hadgar kein Asagenisht V'taye, this is by the Meibishtim, v'nayit tut mit ein aveira v'enekei. You can't begin to comprehend how precious it is by Hashem when a Jew does one sin less. Even a sinner, a person who fell through and he's involved in an immoral lifestyle. But if he sins one time less, you can't comprehend how much pleasure that causes Hashem. So the Rebbe says, don't distance yourself from him. Maybe by being close to him, you can prevent him from one time engaging in this sin, and it's worth it. And what is the explanation? And this one of the explanations is what the Alter Rebbe explained in chapter 45, that even one sin is very tragic for the soul. Because a sin, when a person sins, he or she takes the soul in chains, and kicking and screaming, he schleps the soul into a place, a domain that is totally antithetical to its identity and very abusive of it. It violates the soul to its core. And that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy to do that to a part of yourself. So one sin less, it's all worth it, Alter Rebbe says. And somebody who doesn't sense the soul kicking and screaming, the tragedy is even greater, obviously. This compassion is epitomized, Alter Rebbe said, in the famous story where Yaakov encounters Rachel for the first time. Yaakov raises his voice and he weeps and he kisses Rachel. As the Alter Rebbe explained, this embodies the spiritual process of Yaakov, who personifies divine compassion, arouses the deepest compassion on Rachel, the ultimate Yiddish Mama, the Jewish mother, the source of all of the Jewish neshamas, kissing her, allowing every soul to ultimately kiss the divine through Torah and through mitzvahs. And now we continue with chapter 46. Now, the following four chapters of Tanya, 46 through 49, constitute one unit. The Alter Rebbe now begins a new subject, and the subject continues through 46, 47, 48, and 49. The Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Alter Rebbe, in one of his Hasidic discourses in Neir HaTorah Vayikra, calls these four chapters Drush Ha'ava de Kamayim Haponim Laponim. It's the discourse on reciprocal love. In fact, one of the central themes of this chapter is explaining the Pesach experience, the liberation of Mitzrayim of Egypt, which makes it very appropriate that we're learning it in this week of Pesach. In chapter 46, the Alter Rebbe describes the origin and the nature of this love. Chapter 47, its relevance to our present condition and our present era, long after the events that he will describe have passed. In chapter 48 and 49, he explores deeper layers of this love. Now, it's in chapter 46 is interesting in the sense that Alter Rebbe here expresses himself in an unusual way. Quite uncharacteristic in other chapters of the Tanya that Alter Rebbe should express himself this way. In fact, in a few places you'll see it reads almost like a story, almost like a drama. The reason he expresses himself this way very vividly, very dramatically, extremely expressive, usually throughout the Tanya that Alter Rebbe, you can see goes long lengths, travels long lengths in order to not to allow, to conceal the depth of his emotions. But here he allows some of it to come out, to pour over, so to speak. And the reason he does this, I think, is also obvious when you study and analyze the chapter well. Let's begin inside. Daf Samachei Amid Aleph, page 129. Perik Mem Vav, chapter 46. Zog da Alter Rebbe, Yesh Derech Yashar Lifneish. There is yet another straight path for every human being. Shava l'chol nefesh, which is equally applicable and suitable to every soul. V'karoiv hadovar mi'oid me'oid. And this matter, this objective, is very, very near. The objective he's going to discuss in a moment is not karoiv, but karoiv me'oid, and not only karoiv me'oid, but karoiv me'oid me'oid. It's highly attainable and accessible. It's not just accessible, it's not just very accessible, it's very, very accessible. What is this? What are we talking about? To arouse and to kindle the light of the love that is implanted and concealed in his heart. That it may shine forth with its intense light, ke'esh bayera, like a flaming fire, bizgalus liba yomaychai, in the consciousness of the heart and the mind. The fact that a Jew experiences a deep, burning love towards Hashem is a fact, as the Alter Rebbe discussed at length throughout the Tanya, but it may be stored or dormant in the subconscious or in the superconscious of the psyche, not felt. Here the Alter Rebbe says, it is attainable and accessible, this objective, that the love should come pouring out, the love that is implanted should shine forth with an intense light burning in the consciousness of one's mind and heart, is a goal that is highly accessible and attainable, it's karuv ma'id ma'id. And this experience of revealing the love will inspire the person. Lim sar nafshay l'Hashem, to surrender his soul to Hashem. V'guf o'yomoydoy, together with his body and his material possessions. B'chalev o'b'chal nefesh o'moyt, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, with the boundless devotion, in other words, of his character. May kedaliba, from the depth of one's heart, be'emes la'amita, in absolute truth. The Alter Rebbe here is very descriptive of what the human being is capable of doing. You know, obviously, we always have to remember, when we learn Tanya, the target audience whom the Alter Rebbe was writing the book for, the original audience. Obviously, since then, there are many more audiences that read the book. But the target audience was people who you did not have to convince that they should observe Shabbos. Or you didn't have to convince them that they should meticulously observe every halach in Shulchan Aruch. That was not their issue, that was not their dilemma. Now, the Alter Rebbe says it's possible for you to reveal this love that is implanted in a revealed way. It should shine forth and burn, to inspire you a love. When you really love somebody in a burning, blazing way, it obviously inspires you to give this person your soul, your body, and everything you have. That's what real love is. And Alter Rebbe says it can be from the depth of your heart with absolute truth. Because he mentions this a few times in the Tanya. You know, I can feel sometimes physically very good. If I slept well, and I'm not tired, I'm not exhausted, I ate well, I feel refreshed, I'm in a good mood, and then I hear a good song. Sometimes I can feel that I'm experiencing Avas Hashem b'chal lev u'b'chal nefesh u'mayit. But this is not necessarily true. It can be more of an experience of the blood circulation, or the kishkas, the intestines, or the adrenaline, rather than the soul. It could be more of experience of the animal soul than of the divine soul. So the Alter Rebbe says, what we are going to discuss, this direct path of chapter 46, can arouse within somebody a true experience of love. And a true experience of love is not easy to attain. Or befrat, especially the most propitious time for a person to kindle this love, is b'shas kriyas shma b'chisel, is at the time of the recital of the Shema and its blessings during davening, as will be explained in chapter 49, the connection and the relationship. Because as I mentioned, this chapter continues throughout 49. For who? This path is as follows. Kasher yosim eliboy, when man will take to heart Masha oimer hakos of what the pasuk says. This is a pasuk in Mishle, chapter 27, pasuk 19. Kamayim haponim leponim, kein lev ha'odom el ha'odom. As water reflects the face to the face, so does the heart of man to man. That is the literal meaning of these words. As water reflects the face upon him to the face, so does the heart of man to man. Pirush, this means K'moyin shekidmus v'tzuras upon him sha'adamare b'mayim kein nire loisham b'mayim oisa tzura atzma. Just as the image and the features of the face that man presents to the water, this identical face is reflected back to him from the water. Koch ha-mamish, so exactly, leva adam ha-neman ba-avasi li-ish ache, the heart of a man who is loyal in his love for another person, so this love which this loyal man has for another human being, awakens a loving response for him in the heart of his friend as well, turning them into loyal friends who truly love each other. So what is the Alter Rebbe saying? He's interpreting here the pasuk, Kamayim haponim leponim, kein lev ha'adam la'adam. Just like water mirrors, reflects the face to the face that presented this face to the water. So if you're standing in front of the water and you're smiling to the water, that's the face that the water will reflect back to you. So just like Kamayim haponim leponim, just as the water reflects a face back to the face that presented its face to the water, kein lev ha'adam la'adam. So the heart of a human being is reflected back to him by the other person to whom he represented this heart. So if I'm smiling to the water, that's what the water will give me back. If I'm depressed and I'm angry, and that's the face I'm presenting to the water, that's the face the water will reflect back to me. So the Alter Rebbe says, Kacha mamish is in human relationships. When somebody loves you, which means when somebody presents to you a loving heart, you respond in love. This is not the only interpretation in the verse, by the way. The Alter Rebbe's interpretation is based on the Rashi, on Metzudei's David, which is the basic interpretation of the verse. But there are many more. For example, the Meiri in Mishle, in Proverbs there in 27, presents another three interpretations. At first he quotes Rashi's interpretation. And then he presents his own interpretation, which is that just as Kamayim haponim leponim, just like in water you can present any face you like without any toil or work, just by gazing at it in a certain way, that's the face you get back from the water. Kein lev ha'adam la'adam. So is the heart of a person to the person himself. Sheliboy shaladam b'rishusay lasis kol mashahu b'echirboy. Your heart, relative to yourself, is like water. In order to impress the water with a certain form, you don't have to work hard, you just have to look at it in a certain way. So he says, the same is true with your heart relative to yourself. You can do with your heart what you wish. Reb Saad Yagon interprets it in a similar way. A person ultimately, he says, can affect his heart if it takes more time or less time, but you can affect your heart. The Meiri brings a third interpretation from Reb Yehuda Kimchi. Interpretation is, Kamayim haponim leponim kein lev ha'adam la'adam. The face that the water presents back to you is only when you're looking at the water. When you go away from the water, although a moment ago the water was smiling to you, but the moment you turn around, the water is not smiling to you. He says, Kain leva adam la adam. That's how people are as well. They smile to you when you're looking at them. The moment you turn away, he says, Baig dem ba'avasim. They're traitors. He says, most people are traitors in their love. He says, Midei avrecha v'kichesh b'cha. Midei avrecha v'kichesh b'cha. The moment you pass, the moment you turn around, he denies that you exist. He certainly denies your needs. But the Ralbag, the Reb Levi Ben Gershon, the Vilna Gaon, the Malbim, they have different interpretations on the Pasuk. What's relevant here is the Alter Rebbe's interpretation, that the same face that I bestow upon the water, that's the face that the water bestows back upon me. And this is also true about human beings, that if I love somebody, when a person presents and experiences a loyal love towards another human being, naturally, the Alter Rebbe says, this evokes within the other human being a reciprocal love towards him. I once heard a story about a Jew who owned an inn, and there was another Jew who came in, and through vicious schemes, he managed to influence the pirates, the overlord who would rent out these inns, these taverns, to give it to him instead of to that Jew. So this Jew who lost his position, he lost his job, his financial security, he brought him to Reb Meir of Primishlan, to the Hasidic master Reb Meir of Primishlan. So Reb Meir told him, he says, you know, when a horse goes to the water, to a stream or to a lake or to a river to drink. So you ever saw the horse kicks? The horse kicks the sand very hard. He says, why doesn't the horse just enjoy the drink? It's refreshing its soul. Why is it kicking so hard? So Meryl said, I'll explain to you why. The horse goes to the water, bends down its head in order to drink. And who does it see? It sees another horse. And it thinks to itself, what a chutzpinyak this horse. Has to come into my place, right where I am, to drink the water, to drink the very same water that was reserved for me. So the horse gets so outraged and furious, starts kicking. The horse starts kicking. What does the horse see? That the other horse is also kicking. And the harder the horse is kicking, the harder the other horse is kicking. And the horse is so miserable by now, it ultimately drinks the water, but drained from any excitement, from any passion, it's just angry and furious and upset and so forth. So Reb Meir told him, and he said in life it's also that way. He tells this Yid, a human being, a sensitive human being, knows the money that belongs to you goes to you and not to anybody else. The money that doesn't belong to you won't come to you, will go to somebody else. And therefore, to compete, to manipulate, to deceive, to cheat, to lie, that only comes from the perspective of the horse who thinks the other horse is right there robbing his water. But in any case, so that's the kamayim aponim. When you're kicking, the water is kicking. Or the face in the water is kicking. So kain leva adam lad. Now the Alter Rebbe continues. Bifrat kisheroya avos chaveri elof. This is especially when he sees his friend's love for him. And by adding these words, we understand what the Alter Rebbe meant. In order that somebody's love towards you should affect you, you don't even have to be conscious and aware of the fact that he loves you. In other words, if somebody loves you, the Alter Rebbe says, naturally and instinctively you sense it, and you love him in return. Unbeknownst of the fact that he's in love with you, that he loves you. And this we see sometimes, that a human being experiences a real affection and love towards another human being, and he may not know why. He just knows the fact that I love this person. And after a while, you find out that this person loves you. So the Alter Rebbe says, when somebody loves you, you spontaneously respond. You cannot resist it. Even if you're not conscious of it. He never shared it with you. He never expressed it to you. But somehow the nature, the biological makeup of a person is that when somebody loves you, so you respond, just like water. It doesn't have to do with the water being conscious of it. But that's what he says. Kacha mamish. Just like the face you show to water, automatically, that's the face it will present back. When you're in love with somebody, automatically, in the other person's heart, there is born a love towards you. It's like a mirror. It automatically reflects your face back to you. If you're smiling, the mirror will smile back. So when somebody loves you, your heart loves back. You're like a mirror. That's built into the biological nature of a person. So here the Alter Rebbe adds, it's even more when he sees his friend's love. When the man shows you his love, if you see how he loves you, then of course the response is more powerful. And this every one of us relates to. If somebody approaches you, and in sincerity, in a genuine fashion, hugs you and embraces you, and tells you, I love you, it's very hard to remain indifferent. It doesn't happen usually. I mean, people will say, I like your humor, or I like you, but I mean, a real expression, if somebody comes over to you and in a real way says, I really love you, it's very hard to remain indifferent. It's like a mirror. You're like a mirror. Your heart will immediately love this person. Particularly if he demonstrates it. He doesn't only say it, he demonstrates it continuously. So this is the meaning of Shlomo HaMelech's verse in Mishlei chapter 27. Hine now, zeu teva nohug b'midas kol adam. This is the common nature in the character of every human being. Afim shneim shavim b'mayla. Even when they are equal in status. Even when you're dealing with two people who are more or less equal in status and rank. Two regular human beings. And one person loves the other human being, naturally, his heart responds with love. Think about a person who really loves you and shared that with you, and think about your feelings to that person. If you are mensch, obviously these are people who are not in the definition of kol adam. But zeu teva hanog b'midas kol adam, a human being, that's the nature of man. How much more so when you're not dealing with two people who are equal in status? If a great and a mighty king, displays his awesome and his intense love to whom? Leish had ye to a simpleton, v'nivzan a despised person, u'shfal anoshim and somebody who's lowly among people, u'menuval u'mutal ba'ashpa, a disgraceful creature who's cast on the dunghill. So the Alter Rebbe says, even with two regular people, and somebody comes over to you and says, I love you, Kamayim aponim laponim kein leva adam la adam. You will feel and experience a love in return to that person. That's the nature. Certainly, when you're talking about the Alter Rebbe says, and two people who are not even equal. On one hand, you have a king. Again, I told you many times, today's day, this metaphor is quite obsolete. In the Alter Rebbe's generation, in the Alter Rebbe's world, this was a metaphor that was not obsolete, but was absolute. It was a powerful metaphor. And Chassidus, the metaphor of a king, even though most of them did not deserve the authority they had, is always employed as a metaphor for our relationship with Hashem, because he's the real king. But in any case, so the Alter Rebbe says, if a king and not just a king, but a gadol v'rav, a great king, which means he has a great personality, a very exalted human being, v'rav, and he's powerful in the sense that he rules over many lands and many countries. And he not only retains the love in his heart, but mare, he demonstrates a love towards another human being. And not just a love, but g'dayla v'atzuma, it's an awesome and a great love. And to who? On the other extreme, not just to a regular human being. The Rebbe says, I had yoid v'nivzeh, shvala nafshim, v'nuvla mutal ba'ashpa. A regular person, a commoner, a simpleton, maybe a person who's despised, a person who's lowly of lowly and is etched and buried in filth. He's cast in a dunghill, as he put it. This is another story. Imagine you are in the lowliest, most disgraceful of conditions, physically or psychologically or emotionally or mentally. And an awesome and a great king comes out and comes to you and embraces you, tells you, I love you. And I want to have a relationship with you. This is another story, and Alter Rebbe will describe what this king does. This king comes down to him from the place of his glory. The king lives in an exalted mansion, in an exalted atmosphere, again, either physically or psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. But the king abandons it. He goes down from his place of glory. And not just that. He can choose to make the trip himself. Im kol sar of Yachdav. His entire spiel has to join him in this process. You know, he can say, I have to go hunting or go on vacation. No, this becomes a project of the capital. This is the project of the king. The whole retinue, all of the sarim, all of the ministers come with him. And he goes down to this lowly human being who is etched on a dunghill and who is consumed by dirt. And he raises him and he lifts him up from his dunghill. And not only that itself would be a lovely thing. And the depth of gratitude you would have to this human being would be awesome and eternal. And then he brings this man into his palace. Hey, Chalamelech, which is not just a palace. It's the king's mansion, it's the royal palace. And not only that, he brings him into the palace and he gives him one of the external rooms and chambers of the palace. It's a gewaldike thing. The Alter Rebbe says within the palace itself, he leads him, cheder lifnim me cheder, a room, a chamber beyond the chamber, till the innermost chamber, makim shein kalevet v'sar nichnas l'sham, a place such as no servant and lord ever enters. There are places that the ministers enter, but the servants never enter. And then there are those places that ministers don't enter, and servants, because they're servants and they're simple, they enter, even though the ministers don't enter. But he says this, imagine he goes to the dunghill and turns to this person. And says, I love you. And he takes him to his palace. Brings him in chamber beyond chamber to the chamber where nobody else enters. And Alter Rebbe continues. And here is the zenith, the peak. And there, in that most intimate chamber, he shares with him the closest and truest companionship. The chibuk v'nishuk, with mutual embraces and kisses, v'izdabkus ruche beruche, and an attachment of spirit to spirit, b'chalev and nefesh, with his entire heart and his entire soul. So the Alter Rebbe says, imagining in our mind such a scenario, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so, shetis oirer memela, Ha'ava chfulo mechupeles, b'leiv ahedye tushval ha'anoshim azel, nefesh ha'melech. How much more so will there naturally be aroused
a doubled and redoubled love in the heart of this most common and humble individual towards the soul, towards the person of the king, biskashrus hanefesh mamish, with a true attachment of his spirit, milev and nefesh, from his heart and his soul, meumkedelibelenket, not just from his heart and his soul, but from the infinite depths of his heart. And the Alter Rebbe says, Va'afim liboy keleva heaven, even if the heart of this peasant is like the heart of a stone, it's not roused to tender feelings, it doesn't have the ability to be vulnerable. Yet in this situation, ha'meis yimais v'haya l'mayim, it will totally melt away and become like water. V'tishtapich nafshe k'mayim, his soul will pour itself out like water. B'klois ha'nefesh mamish la'avas ha'melech, with soulful longing mamish for the love of the king. You can't resist this love. It can stop in our hearts from stain. You can have a people, certain people, certain people have a heart of stone, and others, you know, cry like this. Their emotions are readily waiting for them. They're accessible, they're palpable, they're felt. And other people are not that way. It's much more difficult for them. Liboy Kaleva Evan, but the Alter Rebbe says, if you're just a human being under such circumstances, the heart instinctively and naturally just melts away with longing, with love, with total affection towards this beloved one, towards the king. So the Alter Rebbe is describing here very vividly the depth towards which the rule of Shlema HaMelech Kamayim Aponim Laponim Kein Leva Adam LaAdam will apply. Even if a regular person comes over to you and genuinely expresses his real affection towards you, I love you, and demonstrates it, you automatically love that person.